The title of today's message is The Plan of Salvation Advanced. In our last teaching of the plan of salvation, we learned that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We also learned that to be saved, we must partake of the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. To apply this in one's life, one must believe, repent, be born again of water and of the Spirit, and finally, we must endure to the end. We learned that to be born of water was being baptized into Jesus Christ's death. And we learned that being born of Spirit was the indwelling Spirit of God that is received with the evidence of speaking in another tongue as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. So to fulfill the partaking of the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, one must do what the Apostle Peter instructed us on the day of Pentecost, which is found in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 39. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So what we see is a picture of 1, 2, 3. And we're going to say this now in like a table format. We have death, burial, and resurrection. We now also have repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the receiving of the Spirit of God. The repentance falls underneath of the death. The baptism in Jesus' name falls underneath of burial. And receiving the Spirit of God falls underneath of resurrection. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6, This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. This verse tells us how Jesus Christ came, which was by water and blood, not water only, but by water and blood, and the Spirit bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Who is the Spirit that bears this witness? In John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So we now see that Jesus Christ came by water and blood, and the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, who the world cannot receive because it can't see him, but you the disciples could see, because he dwelleth with you and shall be in you, bore witness. Jesus then tells them, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. So then, Jesus Christ is the Comforter, the Spirit of truth. So this Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth, bears witness that Jesus came by water and blood. How did he come by water and blood? In John chapter 19, verses 32 through 35, Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. We have just learned in 1 John that the Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth, is he that saw and bore record. And here in John, we learn it is so that we might believe. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 8, And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now we are told that there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. We know that the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, and that when the soldier pierced his side, there came out blood and water. So the question is, what do these three agree in? They agree in how to be born again, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So now on our table of the death, burial, and resurrection, we now also add blood, water, and spirit. So now underneath the death, we have repentance and blood. And underneath burial, we have baptism in Jesus' name and water. And underneath the resurrection, we have received the Spirit of God and spirit. If the spirit, water, and the blood agree in one, and it is salvation, how then? In John chapter 19 and verse 34, it showed us how the blood and water represents Jesus' death. So when you apply Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The blood represents your repentance, the dying out to ourselves, and we now live unto the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. The water represents burying yourself into the death of Jesus, and this puts sin to death through the faith of the operation of God, that we may become a new creature in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 7, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. In Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. The Spirit represents the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost that is promised to you after taking on the name of Jesus Christ in baptism, as read above from John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. We learn from Apostle Paul that the Mosaic law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith and not the works of the law. What we are going to learn now is that the Old Testament tabernacle was a shadow of things to come. We are going to focus upon the brazen altar, the brazen laver, and the holiest of holies. In Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 13, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who was set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. The Lord offered himself as the sacrificial lamb, without spot or blemish unto God. Continuing at verse 4. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. The earthly tabernacle was only a shadow of the heavenly. Continuing at verse 6. But now he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. This is a reference of the Old Testament covenant, the law, to the New Testament covenant, grace. Continuing to verse 8, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. This is the New Testament covenant. Continuing at verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that, he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Now we see on our table of the death, burial, and resurrection, we now add brazen altar, brazen laver, and holiest of holies. Underneath the death, it should now read repentance, blood, brazen altar. Underneath the burial, baptism in Jesus' name, water, brazen laver. And underneath of resurrection, receive the Spirit of God, Spirit, holiest of holies. In the Old Testament, when someone committed a sin, they offered a sin offering unto the Lord. Each person had to bring a sacrifice, a young lamb or goat. The brazen altar was where the sacrifice was placed. It was here that the person who had sinned confessed their sin unto God and asked for atonement, which is to make amends for a wrong, and then they would slit the animal's throat. The brazen altar, where the sacrifices were done, was a shadow of Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God, which was sacrificed as our atonement, to reconcile, which is to restore friendly relations between us and God. The brazen laver was used by the priest as a ceremonial washing before the offering of the sacrifice, and before he was allowed to enter into the holy place. The brazen laver was a shadow of the water baptism in Jesus' name, where our old man is buried with Christ, and his blood remits or washes away our sins. The holiest of holies was a special place that only the high priest, bearing sacrificial blood once a year, had access to. It also was where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. Inside the ark was the law written on two tables of stone, a golden pot of manna, and Aaron's rod which budded and blossomed. The lid of the ark was known as the mercy seat. It was made of solid gold, and on either end was a cherub facing the other, with wings extended, looking down toward the mercy seat. This is where God would manifest himself to the high priest. The Holies of Holies was a shadow of our access to the Spirit of God. However, after the death of Jesus Christ, the veil was rent in two, and the way to the Holiest of Holies became available to all, not to the high priest alone. We have this access by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and by His indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 and 51, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 23. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised.